or take our lives. Father God, as we sit under the teaching of your word, as we quieten our minds and our hearts to hear what you have to say, I pray that your voice would ring louder than the voice of this world. We pray that the distractions that are coming in from the outside and fighting for our attention, Lord, that your spirit would silence, that you would enable us to breathe deeply, that you would enable our ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, we prepare the soil for you to plant your seeds. Come by your spirit, Father, and move in your church, that your kingdom would come in this place, that your will would be done through our lives. Lord, that your light would shine on this earth from this place, we pray in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.
I will look at the order of service to see what's coming next, because we have an order. We have an order of service, and it says what will happen. There are no surprises at all. We know what's happening. Is that good news for you? Everything happening when it should do. I want you to put in the mindset of the disciples of Jesus, who came from a world where there was some order. Certainly in the temple, there was an order. They knew what was coming next. They had set texts. They learned it off by heart. The people could all chant it together. There was great order. It's great order probably to the slaughtering of animals and sacrifice as well. But there was great order. Everyone knew they were where they stood with that. You might like your faith, your walk with Jesus to be like that. An order, you know what's coming next. And when certainly when you come to church, oh, you know what's going to happen. You know which way we're going to be facing. You know roughly what's going to happen next. You can guess what's going to follow on. And it's a relief. Except things sometimes turn out a little bit differently. Let's hear what happened to the disciples in Luke chapter 10, when the 72 were sent out to do something they have never done before. That is heal the sick, cast out demons, and preach the good news of Jesus. Never done it before. So, a surprise outcome. And Angela is going to come and bring us this reading from Luke and chapter 10.
So yes, Luke chapter 10, reading verses 17 to 24. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." He replied to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." He then turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Here ends the reading.
So last week we looked at those who prefer something that is planned in their Christian lives a way of spirituality which is planned, which is what we call the traditionalist way, because you like to follow traditions and set patterns. Prefer that in your worship. And there are those who say, no way, let's get rid of all that. Let's get rid of the order of service. Let's just let it happen, because when God's at work, as the disciples found when they were with Jesus, when God's at work, in some ways, it is unexpected, unplanned, but wow, it gets you going. And maybe we should have our worship that way, model it that way. We'll come in each week, we'll have no idea what's going to happen. So we won't plan for anything. We'll even put chairs out, maybe. Grab chairs as you feel led. Sing as the musicians feel is on their heart at that very moment. And then let's see what God can do. Does that thrill you? Ooh, interesting. Okay, right. Well, let's have a look at our last one this week as we look at, well, there's different ways, and you can try these. You can have different ways that you use to help your Christian life, to help your Christian walk, different ways of expressing your love to God and your engagement with God through activity, through quietness, through just being outside with nature, whatever it is. Traditionalist there, the last one, using rituals, symbols, orders of service. And today, to complete the set, enthusiasts who prefer that mystery, that openness, and prefer the celebration. As a pathway, this is especially focusing on God who acts now. God who is here. God who we can experience now. And people who want to experience, and it might be if you want to experience, the power of God and be moved by the power of God at work now. And often inspired by joyful celebration. But volume isn't the key thing here. This is actually a way of living out your Christian life, expressing your Christian life, that is under threat. Regularly under threat. Every now and again, you'll see this particular way of worshipping in the moment, described as, well, because it does get rather enthusiastic at times, happy clappy. Now, I've heard that so many times, I try not to use it myself, because it is actually a veiled insult. It is saying that your expression of your spirituality is rather vacuous, is rather unthinking, which is just steered by bubbling emotions, and therefore has no basis to it. It's shallow, is the insult. And I don't like that. It's a way of engaging with God. It's not the only way. But we can go beyond it and say, this is a way that God will engage us with. We look at the passage we've just read. It's saying that there are times, you can't sustain it all your life, but there are times when your walk with Jesus is more like that. I can think of very little more scary than that, other than bungee jumping. But sometimes being a Christian is like that. You never know what's going to happen, and it's certainly going to wake you up. There's no sitting back and just letting it happen. It is happening to you, and God is at work by his Spirit. So we read about the disciples, and 72 returned with joy and said, even the demons submit to us in your name. They were pumped up, as the expression goes. They had adrenaline coursing through their veins, literally. And they were on an absolute high. Because it was fun? No, because they see God at work. Power of God that works through Jesus, that's thrilling enough. You walk 100 miles for that, to see that. But this is the power of God in them as they started to minister in the name of Jesus. Wow. Noticed in the same passage, Jesus was also in that enthusiastic mode, that adrenaline pumping mode, he too was thrilled and thanked God and the Father, and he lifted it up to the Father in his own prayers. Thank you, Lord. Even the demons submit in his name. And so Jesus was praying and was keen to protect them, keen that they didn't take it in the wrong way, and then keen to give them more promises. So there is that moment, moment which some people is the most important part of their spiritual engagement. We also read about the unexpected happening long term. So Joseph said his brother, well, we read about the story of Joseph, his brothers sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. And then later on, four chapters on, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Do you ever reflect on your life? Do you ever reflect on your walk with God and think, that was a terrible time, and see another time later where you think, wow, God worked things for my good or for our good? Might be a shared experience with a group, with a church. Amazing how God has worked. Unexpected, but amazing. And that also can, might not pump us up in the moment, but it's something we can bring to just in that moment and say, God is at work now. And I celebrate it. New Testament. Philip, who didn't really like, didn't really sit comfortably with eunuchs, Ethiopians, officials, or treasurers, bad experiences, or certainly Jewish people have bad experiences of that, or bad attitudes to that. And along comes Philip, meets with the Ethiopian eunuch, who, and has this amazing encounter with him. Ends up with Philip, who began with that very passage of scripture that the eunuch had come to him with, and told him the good news about Jesus. What a moment. And then led him to faith in Christ. Totally unexpected, unplanned, God at work in the moment. How amazing is that? So this way of being with God in the present and having those experiences of God in the present, it's not necessarily about worship. I think that's sometimes the mistake we made. Not necessarily about worship, but it can often be in a worship experience which is fresh, which is new, which is surprising, which is unplanned and just happens. For some, that's the, dare I say, the Holy Grail. That's the thing that people seek in their worship, that moment that happens. But you can't plan it. And you can't plan it by not planning it either. By saying, right, we're not going to have anything happen. We're just going to sit down. Let's sit down. Let's wait for it to happen, right? Okay. Are you ready? And go. Who's going to say anything? I'm not going to say anything. I wonder. They normally say something. And before you know it, it's quite planned. It's quite structured. Or nothing happens. It's the form of meeting that the Quakers have, Society of Friends, that they had great experiences of the Spirit. They would shake in the Spirit, hence their name, Quakers, and it was absolutely thrilling. They decided to keep that as their format, which means that actually they meet in quiet, and only occasionally, I think, is there anything that actually people feel God is saying to them or they contribute to it. So you can't nail it down. It's not all about worship. It's about everyday experiences of God in the moment. And it can thrill us in our walk with God. A few years ago, we had the Mayor's Carol Service. We led it. Our musicians were involved with it. Our caterers serving in the kitchen. And just trying to make this as Christian as possible, even though it's a civic service, trying to make Christ at the center of it all. When I'd finished at the end, one of the people with all the mayoral chains came up to me and spoke to me about how God had moved him during that carol service. He'd had a faith which had grown quieter and just really his faith had gone to sleep, and then suddenly he'd been woken up. He said, I see it now. I've really got to get to grips with this now. get back to God, get back on my pathway of God. I tell you, wow, that was unexpected. Wow, I hadn't even prayed for that to happen. But God had done it. It's amazing in that moment. And I must admit, I had that adrenaline coursing through my veins because God is at work. Isn't it fantastic? And it's a way of engaging with God in that moment. I think we do want that expectancy in worship. There is a place for the familiar. There's a place for coming to communion where, rather like a family meal, it's, here we are again. But it's where all the connections happen. The familiarity links us up with Christ, as a familiarity of a family meal links us up together, whatever mood we're in. But I think there is a place for worship being not fully planned together. So despite the plan, it's not called an order of service, by the way. It is a plan. And that means that it's a plan that can be changed should it be necessary. Should there be a different direction that God is taking us? And I would hope that there will be opportunities for that, where God steers us in a different way. So, here's an essential element then in the enthusiast's way of engaging with God. First of all, a sense of mystery. Sense of mystery and guidance. God does lead you. Do you think that's God speaking to me, leading me to do something quite extraordinary, to go there or to speak to that person? I never thought that would happen. God's guidance. I sometimes see God's guidance in my life and think, how did you do that? The first time I ever think I had guidance, and it doesn't seem much like guidance, and it was years ago when I'd just become a Christian and I was choosing my university. Where should I go? Should I go to the top ones? I should go for the top one. And I should really go for Bristol, which was at the time a very high up on the list of good universities for someone like me. And the last one I visited was Exeter. And as soon as I went there, I felt a real peace from God, which I thought, oh, that's what they're talking about when we've been taught about this idea of peace from God. I feel a real peace from God. I'm coming here. It was such a surprise that the person interviewing me said, I don't suppose you want an offer because I can see the ones you've got down here. I said, no, give me an offer. Give me one I can't refuse. And that was God's place for me, to grow in faith. Not so much grow in engineering understanding, but certainly to grow in faith and to grow in as God's person. Wow. How did that happen? Mystery of God's guidance. Mystery of prayer. Answered prayer. Wow. Didn't think God would answer it that way. Didn't think God would answer that. God answers prayer. We've been praying for Rob this week, who Monday was very, very seriously ill by Tuesday in hospital. And what do you do? Because actually everything is going horribly wrong. By Wednesday, discovered it's a reaction to something he's been taking, an antibiotic. He's got an allergic reaction. His body's shutting down as an allergic reaction. Take him off it, guess what? By Thursday, a new man. Not out of the woods yet. Keep praying for Rob. But an amazing answer to prayer. And then that mystery in worship. Who knows what God's going to do when his people gather together to worship. Lastly, it's about celebration. Experiencing God in the here and now and celebrating all that he can do. A fresh, creative expression of our worship. What are the dangers of this? Well, you could probably, tell each other, what are going to be the dangers that are inherent in this if we pursue it to its extreme? Go on, give me some dangers. Tell everyone else what some of the dangers might be.
Your experience of God and your faith can just be defined by it having feeling, or your energy level,
led by your feelings is a real problem there, isn't it? Yes, yes. What else? You could be led out the wrong way, yes. There's not a lot of reflection going on, but possibly, yeah, it can into the extreme, yeah, just being led the wrong way. One more? Sorry, Rachel? And I think I've seen that. You've probably seen that as well, that peer pressure of expecting how you act, how you react, how you're meant to feel. Yes, and that can shape and mold you. There was one more someone was saying. Sorry? Yes, you can leave out what's important if you're chasing the experience. Yes, Simon, the magician in the book of Acts, he left out what was important, which was faith in Christ, and he just wanted the experience and said, give me that, I'll buy it off you, whatever that power is. Yeah, he just sought that with all his heart, and he missed the point completely. They're the dangers. But do keep expecting God to act. Be open to that. Take risks as we try to gain new insights into a great God who is at work in history. He's at work in our every day, and he is at work in the here and now. We can experience his power. We worship together.